It's been 2 years since Congress passed and President Joe Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act, and hey, we reduced inflation. Inflation is back down to not quite pre-pandemic levels, but you know, a lot better than it was a couple of years ago. I don't think the Inflation Reduction Act had a lot to do with that, but it's been 2 years. We're going to mark the anniversary, and I'm going to ask my guest today exactly what the law did or maybe didn't do to get us to a point where inflation is now getting into more manageable territory. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Darren Baxt. He is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment at CEI, and he is the organizer of a letter that CEI and a bunch of other conservative and free market think tanks sent around this week, urging some changes to be made on the two-year anniversary of the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. Darren, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Let's start with the obvious thing. It's been 2 years. Inflation has fallen. That means the Inflation Reduction Act worked, right?
Yeah, you know, I played a lot of tennis in August of 2022, and I think maybe that's what actually caused the reduction of inflation. So I think people should recognize that there's a difference between causation and maybe correlation, because I do see that argument, oh, it passed right around August 2022, and look, inflation is reduced. No, even at the time, the legislators kind of acknowledged it had nothing to do with reducing inflation. I mean, you don't spend a bunch of money and expect it to reduce inflation and then do things that will drive up prices and make things more expensive, like electricity, and think it's going to reduce inflation. Plus, a lot of the programs, many of the programs, haven't even been implemented yet. So you can't even, with a straight face, say the IRA had anything to do with it.
Yeah, I always thought that was a little bit of a clever trick where, you know, inflation was going to come down because the Fed was raising interest rates and all that. So, oh, we'll call the bill the Inflation Reduction Act, and then in 2 years we'll be able to say, hey, look, everything worked. Let's talk about what is actually in the law. It's been 2 years, and you guys in this letter have sort of spell out, I think, quite helpfully, as you said, a number of things that haven't been implemented yet that Congress could still act and sort of prevent from becoming fully implemented, I should say. Take me through some of that. What would you guys like to see? What changes would you like to see made?
Over 50 organizations signed onto a letter on the two-year anniversary of the law, and the letter focuses on the, I'll put this in air quotes, green subsidies of the bill, which will likely cost over $1 trillion. It'll probably cost even more because a lot of these subsidies in the bill are uncapped. So you can just keep going up higher, and the participation in getting the subsidies can go higher. So we're already at over $1 trillion. But what's worse is the nature of the subsidies themselves. They're an effort to try to use kind of a central planning scheme to shift the country away from reliable sources of electricity generation to unreliable sources. The government's trying to get people out of gas powered cars, put an end to them, and get people into EVs or just don't drive at all and just walk, ride a bike, try to influence what kind of appliances you buy, just basically kind of an effort to electrify everything. That's really kind of the focus. It's kind of a centralized plan, a central plan to change the way we use energy in this country. So it's worse than just all the spending, which will cause problems. It's really about this kind of massive government control and try to influence your life. And a lot of these things are just going to make our lives a lot worse, reduce our standard of living.
Most notably, you guys call attention to the tax credits there, up to $7,500 for electric vehicles, for EVs, a bunch of other things in there. Basically, as you said, Darren, you know, it's a central planning substituting for consumer choice. Now, I know you mentioned in the letter that some of these changes could be made through the reconciliation process in next year's Congress. Do you think that's something that Republicans, let's, you know, spin it forward and pretend that the election goes well for Republicans this year? Is that something you think Republicans in Congress will actually have an interest in doing when it comes?
There'll be plenty of them will have an interest in doing, and they absolutely should do it. A lot of Republicans talk about the problems with the Green New Deal and the Green New Scam or whatever language they use. You can't talk about that and say, get rid of that, the Green New Deal and Green New Scam or whatever you want to call it, and not get rid of the IRA. Green subsidies. That is the heart of that whole scheme by the left on these policies. So you necessarily have to get rid of it to have any legitimacy, as far as I'm concerned, to say that you're getting rid of the Green New Deal, Green New Scam. The problem is, I think it's very possible as a practical matter that some Republicans will get squishy on this. When the bill passed, I think a lot of Democrats kind of pointed out, well, once the money starts going to districts for certain legislators, they'll start singing a different tune. And some of the legislators right now, conservative legislators, are singing a bit of a different tune. 18 House Republicans sent a letter to the Speaker's office kind of defending the green subsidies. So this is something that really concerns us, and we want to make sure that really one of the first bills the next Congress takes up, if things do go well, would be getting rid of the subsidies. And I would imagine that is something that would certainly be front and center, and certainly would hope so.
Yeah, something that we surprisingly haven't heard as much about, I don't think, on the campaign trail yet. I imagine that will change as we get closer to the election, and I hope this will be an issue that you hear not just former President Donald Trump, but also Republicans that are running for Congress, running for Senate, talking about this, because this is one of those real actionable items that Republicans, if they do take the White House and take Congress in this year's election, could look to do next year, hopefully will look to do. As you point out, though, Darren, there's that like sort of Obamacare effect. Once the law's in place, tends to become more popular. You know, we'll see what happens. I appreciate what CEI is trying to do here, trying to raise the profile of the Inflation Reduction Act and point out, I think very importantly, that, hey, some of this stuff can still be stopped before it's fully implemented. We are unfortunately out of time, so we've got to stop right here. Darren, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thank you.
That is Darren Baxt. He's the director of the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Center for Energy and Environment. You can find their work. Check out the full text of that letter at CEI.org. They do lots of fine work on a variety of other topics as well. Follow our coverage of the DNC this week and everything else going on in DC and around the country at Reason.com. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Catch me right back here next week on